of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Savior and Redeemer. Amen. Amen. That sometimes happens. You get there and you go, what? So why don't you tell me, what would you like to do before you die? That's a pretty weird question to be asking on a Sunday morning. Part of it is just saying, well, is there something you'd still like you to accomplish before you leave this life on earth? We could maybe be a little lighthearted and say, oh, maybe if I could win the lottery. Or maybe I want to go out in space. But most of us would sit down, and if we wanted to seriously think about this, we might say, well, maybe I've always wanted to write a book or write my memoirs, or I'd like to visit the fjords in Norway. Or if you're a golfer, you say, Lord, I'd like to be able to shoot my age in golf. Dare to dream. But realistically, what is the one thing you'd really like to see or do or experience before you're not able to do things? That's the question. And these are the kind of things we often put in what we call the bucket list. I think several years ago, you remember there was a movie called The Bucket List with Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman. They were a couple of cancer patients, and they became the most unlikeliest of friends. They ended up spending their last 3 months together, each trying to fulfill the bucket list of things that they'd always wanted to do before dying. But they discovered during this quest that their bucket list had really more with living joyfully and fully and faithfully than doing things before you die. They ended up discovering what gives them the greatest joy is not the self-centered things that are in our bucket lists, but the things they took for granted. Things like having a meal with your family or the love that's shared between friends. Jack Nicholson's character learned the hard way. It took the death of his friend to re-engage with his estranged daughter and for him to sense the saving grace that flows from forgiveness. There's nothing really earth-shattering in the movie and nothing terribly profound, but it does perhaps call into question the value of having a bucket list and maybe what is that content. Well, in this morning's gospel, we hear of two people, Simeon and Anna. God gave them an item for their bucket list. God promised each of them that they would see the Messiah before they died. Old Testament prophecies had predicted a Messiah who would be the Savior of Israel. But there were some conflicting views as to who that Savior might be. I think many hoped he would be that great leader to help them free them from the bondage of Roman occupation. A less common view was that the Messiah, the Savior, would be a suffering servant. Well, we're not sure which one Simeon and Anna expected, and we're not really told how long they had been waiting for God's promise to be fulfilled. Well, let's set the scene for this morning's gospel. It was probably very chaotic. In the book of Leviticus, or in the laws of Israel, every woman who had given birth was required to come to the temple 40 days later and to provide a sacrifice. And there were two reasons for this. The first was for purification. Women became unclean during childbirth and were not allowed to enter the temple or to touch anything holy until they had been ritually cleansed. And this process took 40 days. Secondly, if their child was their firstborn male, then by Jewish customs, they were to present that child in the temple and designate him to the Lord. So the whole family of Jesus comes to the temple for their presentation and for the purification. Mary underwent this, as a new mother, underwent this rite. And the usual sacrifice, as specified in Leviticus, for this is a one-year-old lamb along with either a pigeon or a turtle dove as a sin offering. But it goes on to say that if the family was poor and could not afford a lamb, then the offering of two turtle doves or pigeons was sufficient. Well, as we read this morning, the family of Jesus was not very rich. They couldn't afford to bring a lamb, so they only provided the two turtle doves. Not really what was to be expected for the family of the Messiah. However, symbolically, if we look into this, the baby Jesus was being offered as the Lamb of God, a name later given to him by John the Baptist. So in this sense, their offering exceeded what was asked for in the law. Now, reading told us that Simeon was a very righteous Jewish man to whom it had been promised that he would not die until he saw the Messiah face to face. And as I mentioned earlier, we're not sure how long he'd been waiting to see the Messiah. And he was probably expecting the Messiah to be an energetic, charismatic leader that he would recognize somewhere in the city. And the image of Simeon is one of an old man, spending his last years of his life wandering around Jerusalem, hoping for the sight of the Savior. We also hear about Anna, 84 years old. And in biblical terms, that would be probably over 100. People didn't live as long as they do today. So she was also looking for and speaking of this Savior who was to come. The Bible says she never left the temple. She stayed there day and night fasting and praying, and eventually she did see the one whom God had sent to redeem Israel. She came to the baby after Simeon had proclaimed him as the Messiah. God brought them all together at the right time, brought them both to the temple on the day that was 40 days after the birth of Jesus. So Anna also prophesies this, and all her years of watching and waiting and fasting, finally her prayers were answered. So there's reasons why these two people are featured every year. The first is it's ironic, and it's also an analog for us that while Simeon could not die until he met the Savior in person, for us as Christians, we cannot really live until we meet the Savior. Oh yeah, we can wander through life and be happy enough. We can be successful in the world's eyes and comfortable and joyous peoples, but we cannot have that real peace, that peace that passes understanding, until we know that the Savior has come to love us, one by one, love us into the kingdom of God. Now, secondly, in these two stories of Simeon and Anna, we find evidence that the religious life is not a brief sprint, as we sometimes presume, but it's a marathon. In our age of instant gratification, our pursuit of passion and happiness may last a few weeks or months, but these two people spent years, decades, waiting for God's blessing. For us, as I say, sometimes weeks can seem forever. For them, decades of waiting and watching was appropriate for them. And this is the most significant aspect of Simeon and Anna, the legacies they left behind. The church has forever remembered them as heroes, righteous saints who sought to love and worship and serve Jesus as Messiah. For 2,000 years, their names have been synonymous with patience, faithfulness, and serenity. So, just to recap, Simeon and Anna were faithful servants of God. God's Spirit led them to the temple that day. And it was unlikely that they really expected to meet the Messiah there. However, God did reveal to them that the baby Jesus was the expected one. And God Spirit moved them to prophesy. The thing was that they prophesied that he was not only to be the Savior of Israel, but to be the Savior of all people. And it was also prophesied that the Messiah would meet resistance, and it was also foretold of Mary's grief when she witnessed Jesus, her son, being crucified. We never hear of Simeon and Anna again in the Bible, but their patience and willingness to follow God's leading has been memorialized forever. Billions of people celebrate this day, Candlemas, and celebrate. And in our services, we say the Dunc Dimittis often. So with this as a background, going back to what I asked at the beginning of the service, maybe I asked the wrong question. Maybe it shouldn't be, well, what would we like to do? It should be perhaps, how would we like to be remembered? What would we like our legacy to be? What should be written on our tombstone? There once was a man named Bob. What will people say about me? Will they talk about how hard I worked, how I was successful as a geologist, how I took care of my family, that I was a world traveler? Or will they say he really loved his family, that he spent time with people in their hours of darkness, that he tried to dedicate himself to God's service? So what will our legacy be? And if we have an idea of what we would like them to be, perhaps there's still time to write them by how we live our life. Perhaps there's still time to live in such a way that people will see the fruits of the Spirit in us: faithfulness, generosity, wisdom, patience, peacefulness, and love. What do we want people to say about us when we're gone? How can we live our life so that our legacy can be a good one, like Simeon and Anna? Well, I recently read a story about the Swedish scientist Alfred Nobel, best known for developing dynamite into an explosive to be used primarily as a mining tool, but ended up being used as a tool of war. He wrote once, "My dynamite will lead to peace sooner than 1,000 world conventions, as soon as men find that in one instant whole armies can be utterly destroyed. They will then want to abide by golden peace." But then an interesting thing happened. A Paris newspaper erroneously described Nobel as having passed and printed an obituary for him 7 years before he died. In it, Nobel was described as the inventor of dynamite, a substance which has led to the deaths of thousands, including his brother. Well, Nobel read it and was horrified. And at this point, Alfred Nobel decided to change his legacy. So he revised his last will and testament, and upon his death, the bulk of his massive estate was placed in trust to award prizes annually to leaders in the areas of science, chemistry, medicine, and literature, and most notably, the Nobel Prize for Peace. Well, not all of us are Alfred Nobel. Not all of us can provide those kind of legacies, but it is a time for us to consider what kind of name, memories, and contributions we will leave behind when our time on earth is finished. What would we like people to write about us, think about us, to say about us after we're gone? So there's still time to recreate that way that we're remembered. May God grant us both the days and the ways to live our lives in a way that will touch people for generations. And that's my prayer for us. Thanks be to God. Amen.